Well, open your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, as we continue our study in the New Testament. Hebrews 11. We pick it up in verse 32 tonight. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turning to flight the aliens of the enemies. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourging, yes, of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having prepared something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Let's pray. Father, we come tonight to such a heavy passage of Scripture. It really speaks into the depth of what faith can bring a person to. Either that faith that you produce because of your will, a victory. Someone raised to life. Lord, someone escaping the edge of the sword. That idea of deliverance through faith. Or Lord, those that were delivered unto death through faith. Tortures and scourgings and sawn in two, stoned. Those that suffered greatly at the hands of the enemy. And God, both by faith, lived for you and worshiped you. Lord, we love to hear the stories of victory. We love to hear about the deliverance. And Lord, it's so hard for us to accept the stories of torture and suffering. And Lord, both of them are in the list. And both are considered equally of whom the world is not worthy. God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds tonight to, Lord, your word, to the whole counsel of your word, to your will. And we pray that you'd fill us, Lord, with your spirit and that you would teach us and lead us and guide us through your word. Open our eyes to the world we live in, to the commission that is laid upon us as a people, to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, to counting the cost, to understanding what that might bring to us. And Lord, without faith, it's impossible to please you. We know that. So help us, we pray. Assist us to understand, to learn, to grow, to give our lives to you, Lord, that you might be glorified. I pray that you'd burn in our hearts what was in these people's hearts. A desire for something better. A desire for the eternal. A desire to worship you wholly and completely. We thank you, Lord, and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we come to our seventh study in what we've entitled The Heroes of Faith. And I love here at the end of this chapter, and hopefully our final study, at least here in this chapter, though chapter 12, verses 1 and a few more go with this. But in verse 38, it says this, after listing these great heroes of faith, of whom the world was not worthy. I think of that phrase, of whom the world was not worthy, and how so many times we don't realize that those that have suffered greatly have suffered for a cause because they've counted the cost and they're following after Jesus. In America, it's real hard for us to comprehend, to understand suffering. It's real hard for us to see what that really means and how that God can allow His children to suffer, especially those that are walking close to Him. Those that the world is not worthy of. Those that we call heroes of faith. How come they had to suffer so greatly? As you read through the Scriptures, you read about men and women who suffered greatly. And obviously, those men and women we read about are the great men and women of the faith. We read about stories of them being persecuted. I think of some of the prophets. I think of Jeremiah. You know, incredible, incredible suffering that he went through. And on and on. And we'll get to some of those as we study here today. As you go on into the New Testament, you find an overwhelming amount of suffering. Maybe it's unseen. Maybe when we read through our New Testaments, we don't see the suffering. But there's so much suffering there. Well, just start with our Lord. Our Lord coming to this earth as a man, suffering greatly at the hands of the enemy. And those that followed, and Jesus said that they're going to suffer as He suffered. They're going to be persecuted as He was persecuted. In fact, in John 16, Jesus tells His disciples right before the cross that they're going to be killed. He tells them, you're going to be martyrs. You're going to be killed, and they that kill you, those Jews, are going to think they are offering God a service. Later on, Paul, in Paul's life, as he writes, he talks there about, there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says there that a good soldier of Jesus Christ must endure hardship, must endure these hardships that come. He talks about his own chains in that letter. He talks about how he is in chains. He talks about how he endures all things for the sake of the elect. He's enduring these sufferings and these tribulations and this suffering that he's going through for the sake of God's people. For those that seemingly have not yet turned to Christ, but will turn to Christ, those whom God has chosen, that he suffers, he endures hardship to get the gospel out. And that's clear in Paul's life. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, in verse 12, he says, "For all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." If you read Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, there's so much in there about suffering and persecution. And in the book of Acts, we find Paul suffering time and time again. And not just Paul, but Peter and these men and women in the New Testament, we find that suffered greatly for one reason, because their faith in Jesus Christ. Because their outspoken faith and because of the steps of faith that they have taken. Remember last week we talked about those two things, that we speak out in faith. We saw that in some of the patriarchs of old. They spoke out in faith. They declared things, declared the truth of God and what He was going to do in faith. And then they also stepped out in faith. And that's exactly what we find. We find in the early parts of Acts, Peter and John being there charged not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And they say we ought to obey God rather than man, and they must do it. And in the end of chapter 5, after being arrested the second time there, we find that they're scourged. And they leave the council, the very last couple verses of Acts 5. They leave the council rejoicing for the things which they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. That's an idea that is really foreign from our minds. I don't know if it's foreign from your mind. I believe it probably is, unless you're just a different kind of an American Christian and God has really opened your heart and mind to a lot of things. But I know that's even foreign from my mind. The idea of rejoicing after being whipped and scourged and beaten for the name of Jesus, that I was worthy to suffer for His namesake. It is something that we need so desperately to grab onto in the New Testament, this idea of suffering. This idea of suffering for the sake of the gospel. That it's something that God has ordained. that God has clearly ordained. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 3 or 4 there, Paul talks to the Thessalonians and he says that it has been appointed for us to suffer. He talks about there that it's been appointed. It's been ordained by God. We can read in the epistle that Peter writes, 1 Peter, and so much in there about suffering. And in chapter 4, as he's talking about suffering, in verse 19, he says, as we suffer according to the will of God, that we ought to commit our souls to God, Him, as to a faithful Creator. The idea of the will of God and suffering being one and the same. As we suffer according to the will of God. That's an amazing idea. I think that's a foreign idea. When Jesus called His disciples, He called them, and in the call He said, if you want to follow Me, you must be willing to pick up your cross and come after Me. That was the call. That's how He did evangelism. So it'd be like us saying today, this is biblical evangelism. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, your life isn't so much going to get better outwardly, but it's going to probably have some real problems and persecution. There's going to be suffering that's going to enter into your life because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, why would people suffer? Why would these people suffer? Why would they go through everything they go through? What would motivate them? What would keep them? What would cause them not to just deny the Lord, to draw back, shrink back in fear and just say, I'll do whatever I have to get out of suffering? Our author tells us here in verse 39, he says, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having prepared something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. There was a promise. They suffered because they looked forward to Him. There was a promise. There was something more in life than life. And there was something worth more than this world, than their own lives. And the world wasn't worthy of them. And they lived in such a way. And it's that thing we've been looking at throughout this chapter, that eternal perspective. That God was real. Remember, we talked about what is faith. And in verse 6 here in chapter 11, that it's impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That God is real, that God is. That God is real. And verse 1 said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. We saw that word, the faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance there is the assurance of things hoped for. And it's an evidence of something we have not yet seen, but an evidence that it is real and exists, and that is God. Now, the whole epistle to the Hebrews is about Jesus Christ being our high priest, bringing us into the presence of God. And so it's this idea of us being with God, an idea of us being there with the Lord. In fact, in chapter 11, a few verses that come to mind, here in verse 10, it says, for he, speaking of Abraham, waited for the city which had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. Abraham looked for something that was more than physical, more than this world had to offer. And therefore his faith caused him to look beyond the physical into the unseen. Verse 16 says, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This looking forward. And when we looked at Moses last week, we saw in verse 26, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. There was something they were looking to, the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. And how did he endure suffering? As seeing him who is invisible. And so there's this beautiful picture of looking unto the Lord. And that's why in chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, suffering. the greatest suffering man could experience in the day of Jesus and still in our day. The cross was just a tool of torture. He endured the cross, it says there, for the joy that was set before me, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And what was that which the joy that was set before him? I believe here in the context, the joy that is set before him is the presence of God, heaven. And we'll talk more about it when we get there, but it's that joy that was set before him. He endured the cross looking unto what was beyond the cross, what was beyond the suffering. We can go beyond church history, biblical, what we would call church history, the book of Acts, the New Testament. And we could go on into the years, the decades, and the centuries of church history and find martyrs and those that suffered and those that did it in the name of Christ. And because of them, today the faith has been preserved. The Word of God has been preserved. And we have such a great appreciation for them. But you know, today, in our day, there are more people around the world, Christians, that are being martyred and persecuted than at any other time in church history. That's shocking. Maybe you've heard that before. You've heard that statistic. And that's all it is to some of us, a statistic. It's not a reality. Why? Because it's in our part of the world, those things aren't happening. In our part of the world, we don't see people being persecuted, being martyred. But it's happening. It's happening in other countries. And it's happening around the world in an incredible, incredible way. And people are suffering. And we need to know how to deal with suffering when it comes into our life. Especially when it comes into our life because of our faith. Because of persecution. We all love the stories. I do. When I read the biographies of great men or women in church history. Right now, my wife and I are reading a book, The Heroes of the Holy Life. And it's basically short, brief biographies on different men and women of God and throughout church history. And I always love the story when it ends, when the story ends and they're still alive and God has moved and people have been saved and it's wonderful. And then there's those stories of the suffering saints and they end and their life ends in death and tribulation. Those don't sit quite as good. I like to hear the victory. So when I read the first part of this section here in Hebrews, I like it a lot. But when I start getting into the second part, as you'll see, it's not as exciting to me. Who doesn't like to hear about, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being delivered from the fiery furnace? Now that's a story to tell your kids. You know, that their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Their hair wasn't even singed. That's the kind of story I like. Well, we are so used to Hollywood, you know, and we like a movie with good endings. They're not always good endings. And here we have a story of victory, or Daniel in the lion's den. And I love to tell my kids about Daniel sitting there, you know, and we can, you know, make it probably what it is. And he's there petting the lion, sleeping on him. You got the pictures and the storybooks. And there's Daniel sleeping through the night there, you know, on the lion and their buddies. And that's a story of victory. That's wonderful. You know, but we don't want to talk about the stories of, in our opinion, sometimes our earthly mindset, our fleshly minds, defeat. But is it defeat when someone dies, when someone's martyred? I wonder this.